Welcome back. Glory to God. Good. Let us pray. We're going to get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As you know, we was going through those duties executed by an apostle. I think we got through the first 10. Like I said, we got a total of 26. So by the time the semester is over, we should have gotten through the full 26 of that. Like I said, that's just a short list, an abbreviated list, but these are the ones I came up with. Number 11, we did the first 10, so we're going to do 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 tonight. Number 11 says, to initiate. Apostles initiate new moves of God. The apostolic anointing is an activating anointing. Apostles are catalysts. This gift helps release the other gifts in the church. So it activates the other gifts. It gets them started, gets them moving so they can operate in the church. Number 12 says, to bridge. Apostles are raised up during seasons of transition. They provide bridges necessary for the church to transition from the old to the new. That's what we're doing right now. We're transitioning from the old to the new. So if an apostle is in place, then he helps us to transition from that old. Like that when we first started, one of the things that we said, we don't put new wine in old wineskins. We want to tear out. We want to break down everything that we thought we knew. And put in new wine. So he helps to bridge that transition. Number 13 says to establish. Apostles help establish truth, revelation, churches, and new moves of the Spirit. To establish means to bring into being on a firm and permanent basis. And so they establish. Number 14 say to pioneer. Apostles are pioneers. They keep the church moving into new territories, both naturally and spiritually. So they keep us moving into new territories. And so the next one is number 15 says to legislate. As officers of the church, apostles legislate. They issue orders and kingdom decrees for the church. And so the scripture we gave you for that one was Acts 15. Again, we're going to go back. We're going to review some things and go over some things. So our basic scriptures is Ephesians, so we can keep it fresh in our memory, so we can keep going over and over and over. So in Ephesians chapter 2, one of our basic scriptures, you know, we're reestablishing God's government in earth from Isaiah 9 and 6. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says, now therefore you are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We have to keep that focus, forever focus in our forefront. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 4. And we're going to read right on down through 14, 13. It says, Ephesians 4, 4 says, there's one body, one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So from eternity to eternity, Jesus took care of every situation. He's filled everything. He says in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting here, the definition is maturing of the saints. God wants us to mature in this kingdom. That's his major. That was Jesus' major purpose. He wants us to mature. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. He said, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, perfect again, mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's our part of our destiny. That's where we should be attempting to go, until we be just like Jesus was when he walked the earth. He became our example while he was here on the earth. He said, I am your example. So if you're going to walk this kingdom life like I did it, then I'm your example. So these fivefold ministry gifts, they're supposed to be bringing us to that level. They're supposed to be imparting to us until we get to that level. We're still growing. We're still moving. He said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make an increase in the body until the edifying of itself in love. And so we want to make sure that we are operating in this kingdom the way God set it up from the beginning. God said, I'm going to set this government up on his shoulder, talking about Jesus, I'm going to set it up on his shoulder. He said, in all of his peace there shall be no end. And he said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God is reestablishing this apostolic government in the earth realm. And so as we go through and we begin to see how God is doing this, as we reestablish the government the way he set it up, then that's when we begin to see signs and wonders and miracles in the earth realm. If we don't do it right, we're back doing our own thing, and we become our own gods. And when we become our own gods, whatever manifest in our lives is what we produce ourselves. So we have to do it the way God did it. God said do it. And if we don't do it that way, then again, like I said, we become our own gods. I need to take you to one scripture before we get further into the lesson. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. And looking at verse 16. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16. That's why when I'm giving these principles, then I try to put as many scriptures into it as I possibly can, so you can actually see what God is saying. The thing is, make sure we want to see what God is saying. And so when we read scriptures, sometimes we have our own perception. And I told you earlier, only way we're going to know what scripture says, we're going to need the Holy Spirit to come in and show us. That's what the Apostle Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. He said that we can pray that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We want to make sure that we get the revelation in the knowledge of him. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It's important because righteousness is part of the kingdom. We had that meditation scripture last week, last class, where 14 and Romans 14, 17, where it say the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he covered four items in this scripture. He said four things the word would do and with an individual. First of all, it's doctrine. The way we define doctrine is the established order of God. Established order of God. Second is reproof. Reproof is dismantling of erroneous teachings and erroneous thinking. Scripture should do that to each one of us as we're reading and studying and reestablishing God's government. Correction. Correction is the assimilation of truth in thought process. Correction is the assimilation of truth in thought process. We have to know that. And the last one is instruction. Instruction is the systematic application of God's word into your life. It's a systematic application of God's word into your life. So I needed to get that out. I need to get that covered so we can know, you know, as you're going through scriptures, we're figuring out what these words of God, like Jesus said when in Luke chapter 4, and when the enemy came against him and tried to tempt him, he had been out in the wilderness, he was hungry, and Satan came to him and he came to tempt him. And he said, if you be hungry, he said, take these stones and turn them into bread, over in Luke chapter 4. And he said, the word he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So when we get into this apostolic, the spiritual kingdom that we're in, he's not talking about in the natural, so much in the natural. He's saying in the spiritual realm, the way we live in the spiritual kingdom is by the word of God. So we should take the word of God and apply it to our lives and allow it to operate. We should. That's what we should be eating. Let me go to some of my notes. And what we're going to do, we covered part of the teacher. We saw that Jesus was our example. We covered some of quite a bit of the apostle. Now what we're going to do, we're going to look at the prophet. That's the another vital piece of the government of a revival church, and his role of the prophet. So we're going to look at some of the roles of the prophet. The foundation is incomplete without the presence of the prophetic anointing. The foundation of a revival church, like Jesus said, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So it's a group. It's not an individual. It's a group. It's a fivefold. It's called a fivefold ministry gifts. And every part of those gifts applies something to the body of Christ so that those instructions that he gave for building up the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, they are always given for that purpose. God emphasizes the vitally important role of the prophets throughout scriptures. In Jeremiah, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. I think we've covered this one, but we're going to look at it again. This is one of God's prophets, and this is how God think about prophets. God, he said in Jeremiah 1:1, it said, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Joash, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Remember what we said earlier. We said that the prophets, the apostles, and the prophets are listening for what heaven wants here on the earth. They should spend their time in prayer and administering of the word and find out what. That's why it's important that we bring God's kingdom in the earth. That's what Jesus prayed about. That's what he told us to pray about. He told us to pray over in Matthew chapter 6 and beginning at 9. He said, you pray to the Father, which is in heaven. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. So the same thing that's being done in heaven, then it should be done here on earth. He told us in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first above all things. So that means first, the first thing that we seek. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, then all these things will be added unto us. All these things he's talking about, these promises that we have in the Bible. He said, seek that first. And then we're going to begin to operate the way he set it up. We told you what the kingdom was, not meat and drink. Then he also says this, you know, when the kingdom comes, you don't say, look here, look there. He said, but the kingdom is within you. So we are by faith to begin to stir this supernatural kingdom within us, stir it up so we can bring it into the earth realm and see its supernatural forces and manifestations in the earth realm. We who are in the body of Christ, we have a lot of work to do, you know, because the world is getting, you know, the world is getting worse. And so God needs to find some people who are going to hear what he say and do what he say, so we can get this kingdom manifested in the earth realm. If we are the generation should be doing it. If we don't do it, then it might get missed out for the rest of the time. He said he's going to get it in here, but we might as well, if he's going to give it to us, then we might as well be the one that take care of the business for God. In verse 2 of Jeremiah, it says, verse 3, it says, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah the prophet. The word came to him. He had been seeking heaven, finding out what heaven want. And the word came to him. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, he said, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. So when God sent us here to the earth, when we are consumed and conceived in our mother's womb, God already know what we're going to be when we come into this earth realm. Because just like you told Jeremiah, so if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he already know what we was going to be. We already have a destiny. That's why Jeremiah, he likes to talk. Jeremiah over in 29:11. Jeremiah say, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So God said, I got a destiny for all of my people who are going to listen to me, hear what I say, and do exactly what I tell them to do. Be obedient to what I tell them to do. Then, verse 6 says, then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child. See, that's that maturing again. He wanted to mature. He was thinking small. God said, I want you thinking big. I want you thinking maturity. He said, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. First thing he wanted me to do, that's just like what we're doing here. We're rooting out old things, putting in new stuff so we can. And he said, root out and to build. See, you don't root out something unless we rebuild something in it. He said, to tear down and to destroy and to throw down, then to build and to plant. And so when we move something out of the way, then we have to put something back in it. What we're doing now is tearing down tradition, old ways of doing things, and bringing the new way back in, how God wanted done. This is how God wanted done. And so unless we do it right, then we can, you know, like I say, we can go back into tradition and do it the way we want to do it, and we're going to get the same results that we've been getting, the church been getting for, you know, centuries. It just started just for centuries. We've been getting the same thing. But God said, it's a new move of God. He's reestablishing his apostolic government in the church. And that's what we are determined to do. Another example was over in 2 Chronicles, how God used the prophets and let them know what's going to happen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we probably all have heard this story before, how God used a man of God, a prophet. 2 Chronicles 20. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is the story. It says that it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them and others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel at the time. He was a king. So he had these mighty, all these armies, four or five armies coming against him. And he said, this is what Jehoshaphat said. He said, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hezion Tamar, which is in Judea. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So he got serious about this thing. He got, you know, he wanted to find out what's happening. How he know he couldn't defeat them in the natural. So he had to get some supernatural help. But the only way he's going to get some supernatural help, he had to seek God. Then God was going to give him his answer that he needed. And he gives the answer through prophetic utterances. And so we'll see here, and as we read through it, it said, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for the name, for thy name's sake. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, a pestilence, a famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. That's, he was praying this prayer. He was praying it to God. And he didn't, like I say, he said, you know, I don't know what to do. He said, but my eyes are on you. He goes on to say, he said, now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came up out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them. Behold, I say, they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. So, you know, you get to the point, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It's saying everything you do, we acknowledge God. And then he said, he's going to direct us. He's going to direct our paths. So watch the prophet when he got ready to speak. It says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So here it is. They was all praying. They were seeking God. And so all of a sudden, God raised up a prophet. And when they were seeking heaven, find out what heaven wants. So when they sought the heaven, the word came through the prophet, the man of God. And it says that, watch what he says. He said, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thy king of King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you. So now he's telling what God said. And so when they tell us, thus saith the Lord, and we have to be obedient to what God, in order for us to get the victory, we have to be obedient to what God tells us to do. It's important if we're going to operate in the supernatural, as in Mary told Jesus, told the disciples in John 2:5, they said, whatever he say unto you, do it. And when they did what they did, you know, remember those barrels of water that was turned to wine? Well, they did exactly what they was obedient. Like I say, in the kingdom of God, we have to have radical obedience. God gonna tell us to do some things that in our natural mind, we won't be able to do. We're gonna question it. We're gonna have doubt about where the word came from. And like I say, sometimes it's just gonna be strange to hear what God tell you to do. But our duty is to be obedient what he tell us to do. And when we're obedient, then the supernatural can come on the scene and do what it needs to do. Here it is, and watch what he says here. It says, and he said, it's the prophet, the one that, you know, gave his lineage. He came from a line of prophets. It say, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. It said, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So he was telling him, he said, you know, there's a battle that's going to come. He said, be not dismayed. He said, the battle is never yours. If we're in the spiritual kingdom, we can put it in God's hand and he'll take care of the situation for you. He says, so we can, you know, if you get a revelation of that, then you can also take that and use it in your everyday life. As we are growing and as we are maturing in the things of God, we begin to take what the word of God said and how it happened. Previously, that's how we mature. That's how we begin to grow in the things of God. We see how God did things before, and when we see how he did it before, we can take those same revelations, apply it to your everyday life, and the same miracles that they got, we can receive those same miracles. Remember what I told you when I told you the scripture, all scripture is given for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, we can do the same thing. That's why God gave us these scriptures. That's why he gave us this word. Everything that we do, we should judge it in the light of the word of God. And so if we don't judge it in the light of the word of God, then we can have our own perception of what is right and what is wrong. Perception is my idea of what things is. You know, I look out in the world system right now. They got people like Kim Jong-un, our president, Donald Trump. And so they both got this perception of how things should be. But they don't care about anybody else. They don't care about whether all these Koreans are killed or who is killed. But these two people, I say they should, each one of them, take a sword and go out and do like they used to do. And have a little gunfight, you know. And that way everybody else is safe. Get it over with. That's exactly right. Everybody else will be safe, but they don't care about the other people. They just want their way, their perception. And God always wants us to see things the way he see it. And he told us that over in Mark chapter 4. He says, for us who are in the kingdom, I'm going to go back to my story here in 2 Chronicles. God says in Mark chapter 4, it says, for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And so what do you say? He said, for who we who? We're citizens of the kingdom. Remember what we showed you in Ephesians 2:19-20. It said, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. It's for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And so when he was teaching about the parable of the sower, he was telling us what happens in that parable. And if you turn over there, and then we're going to turn back to this one, because like I said, I got to keep giving you scriptures so we can begin to see what the Spirit of God is saying to us and how he said it to us. Here in Mark chapter 4, from 3 to 8, he was giving us this parable of the sower and what happens when the word is going forth. So in verse 9, he said, "And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let them hear." And so he was saying that, you know, if there's a hearing that's other than your natural hearing, we should be able to begin to hear the Spirit of God in the Spirit, not so much in the natural. And so he says, "For us who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him of that parable. See, because he told them what it was, but they didn't understand what he was saying. He said, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." That's what we're trying to implement, the kingdom of God here in the earth realm. The same thing that's happening in heaven, we want to happen here on the earth. He said, "But to them that are without, all these things are done in parables." He said that seeing they may see and not perceive. So that, you know, God said many times we are seeing things, but we're not perceiving what is happening. I go back and I think about over in Joshua, when God told Joshua, he said, "See that I've given you the walls of Jericho." So what God was saying, see it the way I see it. You know, if you look at that wall up there, you're not going to be able to cross it because there's going to be a great obstacle before you. But if you see it the way I see it, or perceive it the way I see it, then your mind is going to be just mine, and you're going to know that whatever I promise you in my word is going to be yours. So it's perception, it's understanding what he's trying to say to us and tell us. So let's go back over in 2 Chronicles. Let me finish reading that for you. He says in verse 17, so it's matter of perception again, and matter of seeing how God see it. And the man of God gave him the word, so we have to see it the way he see it. He say, "You shall not need to fight in this battle." He says, "Set yourself and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." He said, "Fear not, nor be dismayed." He said, "Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." So, you know, you're sitting up, they're all sitting there, they've been praying, they see all these massive armies coming against them. And in your thought process, first thing in your thought process is, you know, God's telling us this strange thing. He's telling us that not to fight in this battle. He said, "This, you know, God told him, say, this ain't your battle. You don't have to fight in this battle. This is my battle." He says, and he goes on to say, watch how you do it. He says in verse 18, he said, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They got their word now. So all they have to do now is believe what he said and begin to give him praise and give him honor for the answer that they received. But watch where the answer come from. In verse 20, I'm going to skip the 19, but I'm going to go to 20. It says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." So now the king is telling the people what the prophet of God has said. He sent his word to them. Y'all don't have to fight in this battle. He said, "Set yourself and stand still. Watch ye the salvation of the Lord with you." And so, you know, in our nature, the first thing we're going to say, you know, they see all these armies out here. How am I just going to stand here and don't have to go to fight? They're going to come and take everything we got from us. And he says, and so now this is what he said. He told him, he was instructing the people now. He's not the prophet. The prophet had given the word, but now he's instructing the congregations, instructing the people. He said, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." He said, "Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Prosper means that whatever I've been seeking God for, I'm going to receive the answer, and that manifestation going to come into my life. No matter what the situation is, with God, there's nothing that is impossible. All things are possible, even us who are believers. It's that all things are possible to us who believe. So if we believe the word of God and believe what he said, when we get that word from God, then all we have to do is stand on it. And so he goes on to say, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the armies and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So rather than grabbing the sword and the shield, the guns and the nuclear weapons, they went out before the Lord and began to praise the Lord. And so when they begin to praise the Lord, watch what he says. Say, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came out against Judah, and they were all smitten. And so God said, when you put it in my hand, he said, I will take care of the situation. You don't have to fight in it. He said, I'm going to take care of the situation. So when he takes care of it, we knew it was what you, I like the last part, though. When he got over there, they went out against him. God had set the ambushments against all these armies. And for the children, verse 23, sealed up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped himself to destroy another. And so what I see, you know, I see the armies themselves coming out, and they begin to, you know, slay each other, all four of them. And that's how God set it up. It said, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked out into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils, they found among them abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and previous precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoils. Now, they was coming when it first started. They was coming to destroy Judah. These armies was. But when they took it and heard the word from God, a supernatural word from God, God took care of the situation for them. And then they came out not with the winning of the battle. They come out with everything, you know, the spoils that the enemy has had also. And so God said, you know, God have always found a way to intervene with his children through prophets. We go out through our scripture. And we find out that the prophets always give answers what God is trying to say to us. So I need to show that Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10:41. He said, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What is that prophet's reward? Just like they receive that prophet's reward here in 2 Chronicles with those kings. Y'all don't have to fight in this battle. So the reward was they got the victory, even though they didn't have to go out and shed throw a spear, take a sword or anything, and they got the victory. He said, he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives a reward. And so, you know, that's everybody. That's why God say we are all one body. And since we all are one body, we all have to know that we are all righteous. It's not my righteousness. I have no righteousness on my own. But Christ Jesus has become my righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells me, say, he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, the only perfect person that ever walked through this earth. He said, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me. God took on my sin that I may be made the righteousness of God in him. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if we all part of the body of Christ, we just like we received the prophet. You remember when we first started this, we said we accurately acknowledge who people are. Then we will receive the gift of who they are and what in their life. That's when I first started this culture of honor. And so righteous, then everybody in the body of Christ have to receive me as a righteous man. I am a righteous man. Unless I begin to operate in other than the kingdom, the way God set it up, then, you know, I can get away from my righteousness. But he said, he that receive a prophet in the name of it shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man. We all, based on the scriptures, everybody who is in the body of Christ, we all fitly joined, compacted together, that we can all work together in this kingdom and build up the kingdom of God. Success is built through the value we maintain for the prophetic voices in our environment. And like I said, it came up, so I'm going to go back and state it. Again, it says for the prophetic voice in our environment. So I'm going to go back and look at that principle of honor again and state it. It says the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives, the gift of who they are in our lives. So we all are gifts to the body. Every individual is a gift to the body. Because our prosperity comes through our agreement with heaven's culture. Our prosperity, we who are in the kingdom, comes through our agreement with heaven's culture. And so that's what we are reestablishing here in the earth realm. We are, again, reestablishing heaven's culture here in the earth realm. We have to do this. We don't have a choice. God has commanded us, basically, to do this. So we have to do this. It says, and the prophets clarify the reality of that culture for us and invite us to enter into it. And so when they clarify it, we begin to see it. And when we begin to see it, they invite us and say, come on, take part of this supernatural kingdom that God has put here in this earth. I want everybody to enjoy this kingdom. So like I said, that's why Jesus wanted us to pray for this kingdom. Let this kingdom. And so when everybody participates and take part of it, or partake of it, then God said, we can have days of heaven right here on the earth. And that's his purpose, for us to have days of heaven here on earth. The apostle keeps us believing, but the prophet keeps us expecting that God is coming. So basically, he give us that hope. He give us, you know, that God is going to intervene and come and do what he was going to do. But again, we have to have faith for what God is saying in his word. If we don't have faith for it, then it can never manifest. Everything that we receive in the kingdom, we have to receive it by faith. It's not going to come by us reasoning or trying to. It's going to come by us believing God and having faith in what he says. So the prophets give us hope. And when we have that hope, then we can faith come along and become the substance for that hope. As in Hebrews 11:1, it's a faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're hoping for it, the faith gives it, puts it in place, make it materialize for you. And so you're hoping, you got to hope for something. Even if you got healing in your body, Word of God said you're gonna keep that hope that God gonna keep his word. He gonna maintain his word. His word gonna not, we're gonna turn him void, but he's gonna profit in the things that he sent it forth to do. So I got hope. So now I come along and I got faith for it. I put my faith in it. And so faith holds that until that what you're seeking God for manifest in your life. If it's a dreaded disease, you went to the doctor and you got a bad report. And so now we know what the word of God says. He told us over in Isaiah 53:4. He said, Jesus wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. It's already a done deal. It's done already. Jesus took care of it. And so now what we haven't seen it yet, but we can see a hope for it. So what we're going to, as we're hoping for it, when we put our faith out there, then that it holds, like I said, you hold that hope in place. And then as it holds it in place, then it manifests in this earth realm. Again, we need the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to get these things coming. I mean, he'll give us the grace to hold that hope in place. You know, when we try to do it ourselves, guess what's going to happen? We're going to begin to look back at that situation or those circumstances, and we're going to lose that hope because, the symptoms are bad. Situation looks life situation. I'll call them life. I call them life situations. See, when life situations come against you, the first thing you're going to think, you're going to lose hope. But God says, Jesus said, what did he say? He said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I come that you might have life or abundance. So if he came to give me life, then if he's in me, that's what I got. I got life. I don't have a life situation because I can take that life that's in me and change that life situation. Any life situation that come against you, you can take that life that's in you and change that into what you want God to give to you. Notes here. It said the dynamic ways in which God speaks to the prophets, including dreams, visions, and trances, creates an awareness of God's involvement with us. So that let us know that God is still involved with his people. He know he had to reconcile us back to him. So he took Jesus and he brought Jesus into the earth so he could help bring us, reconcile us back to the Father. He became that. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man coming to the Father but by me. So he brought us back. Joel, the book of Joel, the prophet Joel. And then, let's see, Joel. I might have to go to the index. You can go right to it. I'm getting to Joel 2:20. Once I can find it in my index here. There we go. We finally found it. Okay, so like I was saying, the dynamic ways, including dreams, visions, and trances, creates an awareness of God's involvement with us. And so here in Job 20, here's an example. We'll look at in verse 2:20, Joel 2:28. And again, I made that statement. It's here in Joel 2:28. It says, and it shall come to pass, this is afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He's saying, also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And so he was saying, I speak to a prophet, and he began to see things. He becomes a prophet, sometimes called a seer. And he see what God is doing, and he come back and he imparts that to us so we can know what God is beginning to do in the earth realm. The anointing on the prophet actually equips us to have our own heavenly experience. Our own heavenly experience is when it's supernatural, when heaven invades the earth and come up on your situation and change that situation the way you want it. As a way that, you know, we want it to be done. We want those wonders to operate in lives. And so as we do what God tells us to do, and then we begin to have our own heavenly experience. And again, Matthew 10:41, that'll be our meditation scripture. Again, we may have used it again. It says, tell us, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall reap his reward, and he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. Meditation scripture for this class. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, that As we hear your word, we begin to do your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.